Very thankful this morning for the privilege that we have to fellowship together. I've been very blessed to be here, and before we look into the Word, just want to thank the congregation for their love and hospitality to us, and we've really enjoyed the time that we've been able to spend with Brother Kevin and Sister Teresa, and that's been a blessing to us, and I trust that God will just continue to bless you all here in Tulsa. It's also a blessing to have each one, as Brother Kevin's already expressed, those that have come in to support the meeting, and it's just a blessing to be with God's people this morning. Amen. Desire and interest in your prayers. We look into the Word of God. Write the title on the board. Amen. Elevating Grace. Brother Cleo already mentioned a little bit this morning about the evil and the sin that is in our world today. And you just have to read the news, listen to the news, and it can be very discouraging within just a very few seconds sometimes because of the chaos that is in our world. Sin is truly abounding in our world today. There's wars, there's so much hatred. There's so much animosity. There's so much strife in the political world, in society, in people's homes. There's so much immorality that is just around all of us every single day. There's so much immorality. And the world is promoting it as if it's a good thing. There's so much abortion. There have been millions of babies that have been murdered. And that's considered a good thing in our society today. We live in a world that is very so confused about who God created them to be. Where what gender you are is now being called a choice. And if you say anything contrary to that, something's wrong with you. Our world has been turned upside down. The thought process of our world is wrong. Used to in traveling to other countries, and I saw the corruption in so many places. In the United States, we don't walk the high road anymore. There is so much corruption across the political aisle. There's so much corruption in politics today. There's so much corruption in business in our world, and it's being propagated in the sports world, in the entertainment world. The influence of that is being pushed on us. And people are being pressured in the school system at very young ages, being influences towards a perverted way of thinking that is so contrary to what the Bible teaches. The prince of the power of the air is hard at work today in our society. Our society is not getting more loving because of it. We look at the ideology of our world and we say, if it's right, then it's going to bring us closer together. It's going to cause us to love one another more. It's going to bring peace in our world. But that's not happening today. I had someone recently, they were beginning to walk away from the things that I knew the Bible taught. And I told them, if you find something better out there, I said, please come and tell me, because I said, I'll go with you. If you find something better out there, come and tell me, because I want what's best. I want what works this morning. But I have not found it in what's being propagated in our society. And I fear for this generation. I am concerned, and I've shed tears over it. I fear and weep for my children. I weep for those of you that are younger, that this is the society that you have known. Some of us that are a little bit older have seen some different things. But there are children that this is all they've seen around them. But I have some good news for you this morning. I don't want you leaving here discouraged. There is good news. So if you will turn with me to the book of Romans in the 5th chapter. I am so thankful today that I can be a bearer of good news. Yes, because you can go other places for bad news this morning, but I wanted us to understand that foundation because it's acknowledged in the Scripture. Romans chapter 5 in verse 20. He said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And he said, but where sin abounded. So let's stop there for just a moment. Sin is abounding in our world today. It's abounding. And the definition of abound here, and this is from the original Greek, it means beyond, exceeding, to increase, to make more. Isn't that what sin is doing today? It is abounding. It's increasing. It's in abundance. And sin is abounding. But thank God that's not the end of the story. Nor is it the end of the scripture. But even better, it's not the end of the experience that we can have today. He said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The good news is this morning that by the grace of God, grace is abounding more than where sin is abounding. Where sin is abounding in your life this morning, there is a more powerful influence. Where the world is pulling on you, there is a greater influence and a greater power that can break the power of sin. And we look on our world, and yes, we shed tears literally sometimes, and we weep for this generation, but the good news is that none of us have to succumb to the sin of this world. The influence is strong this morning, but thank God there's a greater influence through Jesus Christ. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So I don't know where all of you are living this morning, but if you are living under the influence of sin, if you're living under the influence of the flesh, if you're living under the influence of the world, there is a greater influence, and there is a greater power than what's out in the world today. Where sin did abound, there doth grace much more abound. And that is what we are all to be ministers of this morning. We can go to work and we can go to school and we can go to the store and be ministers of that wonderful grace of God that we don't have to succumb to the influence of the world. If you are feeling pressured and you get to that place, it's like, I can't help it. I just can't help myself. I just keep falling back into this. And it's just the way I am. Or the temptations are so strong. I keep giving in to temptation. Thank God there's a greater power this morning. So it's up to us what we're going to do with that grace. But there is a grace that elevates this morning. Elevate means to lift up. There is a grace that is available to all of us today that can lift us up from where we are. It can elevate and raise us up above the sin of this world. There is a grace that can lift us up above the pressures and the influences and the temptations that we all have in the flesh. There is a greater grace this morning. The grace that the nominal Christian world is teaching today, it's a cheap grace. It's a cheap grace. It's a grace that justifies the sin, but not the sinner. It's a grace that preaches Jesus, but not the cross. It's a grace that preaches forgiveness, but not repentance. True grace that elevates us above this world. The grace that elevates us above sin. It will truly lift us up. I remember years ago I was with a minister in Pakistan. And he had hosted a lot of different missionaries and preachers. And we were traveling around to a lot of tribal areas. Many of them had heard very little of the gospel message. And I remember one night he said, "You don't preach what everybody else is preaching." I was like, I didn't know if that was a compliment or an insult. And I looked at him, I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "What is everybody else preaching?" And it's what's being preached in our Christian world today. He said they're preaching a message of the love of God, that God loves you, but it's leaving them right where they're at. And I was saying, God loves you so much. He came to elevate us. His love lifts us up out of our sin, thank God. Some say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's a cheap grace. Jesus came to bring a grace that elevates us out of sin this morning. There is a power this morning that can change your life, that can transform you, that you don't have to go back to sin, thank God. When the woman was caught in adultery, what did Jesus tell her? Neither do I condemn thee. I'm not here to throw stones at you. But he said, go and what? Sin no more. Do you see, that's real grace. That was the influence of Jesus on her life that enabled her to go and not commit adultery again. And some say, well, that's just the way I am. I just can't help it. My dad was that way. And my grandfather was that way. The grace of God can elevate you above the way your dad and grandfather were, thank God. The grace of God can enable us to live a life of holiness and righteousness and godly every single day. Right in the midst of an ungodly generation. But I cannot do it by myself. And you can either. We need the grace, which by definition, grace, and I know that kind of the go-to definition is unmerited favor of God, isn't it? Unmerited meaning undeserved, unearned. But grace by definition also is the influence of. The influence of. It is the benefit, the favor, or the gift. There is a gift of God that none of us are worthy of. There is nothing that we can do by our works, by our own righteousness and our own goodness that will elevate us from the power of this world and the power of sin. It takes the divine influence. It takes the divine power of God, which is His grace, working in our lives to enable us to live according to the Word of God. Well, very familiar passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, aren't you thankful for elevating grace? Have you experienced elevating grace? If you have not experienced it, I have some really wonderful news for you today. This is your hour. This is your hour today that you can bring your sin and you can bring the pressures and the temptations and the things that this is just, I've tried and I've tried. Quit trying and let the power of God come and work for you life and you can be transformed this morning. If you have been in a place and you're saved and you love the Lord, but oh, sometimes we get in some low places, don't we? You know, saints need grace too. We need it every day. We need the influence of the Lord in our life. And sometimes it's, Lord, I'm kind of at a low spot. Thank the Lord, there's an elevating grace. There's a grace that can abound in our life and bring us up and lift us up out of some of those low places. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Thank God for elevating grace. He said, for by... Are you what? For by grace are you saved. And he gave a little bit more detail then, didn't he? He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. All right, there goes all the self-righteousness. We have nothing in and of ourselves that's going to be acceptable to God except bringing our brokenness and our contaminated self and laying ourselves on the altar and say, Lord, here I am. Because there is no work of the law that will save us this morning. There is no list of rules and regulations and guidelines and traditions and church doctrines that will deliver us except for the power of Jesus Christ. He said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You take an unrighteous man, you take a drunk and go baptize him, he's going to get up a drunk. You take someone off the street and dress them up and make them look good and smell good, they're just as sinful in their heart. It takes a divine work of God to transform our life, to enable us to live a holy life. We can dress people up all we want, but it doesn't transform the heart. It takes the power of God. So he went on to say then, not of works. Lest what? Lest any man should boast. In other words, I'm pretty spiritual. I'm pretty holy, Brother Kevin. Where's the glory go? Yeah, if I go around boasting like that. But the true glory, it's to God, is it not? Because it's not of ourselves. It's not of ourselves. When you have been a sinner and you have been elevated by the grace of God, there is an unworthiness there. This Lord, thank you so much. We were like Paul, that I tried to stop and I just couldn't. I was miserable in my sin. I was miserable because I kept giving in to that temptation. But oh, thank God you had mercy and you lifted me up through the divine influence of your power. And that's grace. And I didn't deserve it. And I didn't earn it. And I wasn't worthy of it. But that's God's grace. And that's His love this morning. Thank the Lord. And He went on to say, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, child of God, this morning, we were not saved by our works. But when we are saved and elevated and transformed by the grace of God, then we walk in good works, do we not?
Amen.
Were we created? But this, what our religious world is saying is, I'm covered by grace. And they continue on in their sin, and they testify that, thank God, I'm covered by grace. That's a cheap grace.
Yes.
There is a grace this morning that lifts us up out of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that, what? Are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I can't walk after the Spirit in my own strength. I must have the influence of Jesus Christ to enable me to walk after the Spirit, or I'll just be going back to the way of the flesh. Thank God for transforming, elevating grace this morning that enables us to have good works, but we're not saved by those works. It's all because of what Jesus Christ came to do. He went on then in Romans, actually, chapter 11, verse 6, there's a scripture that said, if it were of works, it would be no more grace. If it were of works, it would be no more grace. What's empowering you this morning? May it be the grace of God. And if you are not living under that elevating grace of God, there is a power for you this morning. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Just back it up by the word a little bit more. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. He said, for sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. Isn't that wonderful? Is that what the religious world is teaching today? Sin you will, sin you must, but we're covered. No, the grace of God meant something. It elevates, it lifts up. He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but you are under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. There is a grace that elevates this morning. And if you have been in a place, a low place, it might be a low place of sin. It might be a low place that you are being pulled to the things of this world. There is a grace this morning. There is an influence. There is a power of God that can elevate you today, that you need not live under, but you can live above what this world has to offer. Grace does not free me from living holy. It frees us from sin. It enables us to live a holy life, to experience the true joy and the peace of salvation through Jesus Christ. Being made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness.
Right.
Being made free, that's elevating grace this morning. Because it is such a sad thing to hear in our world today where a large percentage of Christian churches are promoting the concept, you just keep sinning. What are we saved from? We might as well still have the offering of bulls and of goats because you make the offering and you go back to your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God did what the blood of bulls and of goats could not do. The grace of God enables us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. And you say, well, I can't do it. And the Lord's saying, I know you can't. That's why we come and say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your strength. When you're in a trial, in a battle, and you get to the end of your proverbial rope, and it's like, I can't do anymore. The Lord's saying, I know that. but I can lift you up. I can elevate you by my strength, by my love. And that's His grace working this morning practically. Well, David said over in Psalm 40, is a beautiful passage of Scripture. And while he was living under the law, he had experienced some of God's grace. He actually experienced a lot of it, but not like we have access to today. In Psalm chapter 40, Psalm 40 verse 2, we'll read verse 1. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. And He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He was in a place that he was in a pit. He was in the miry clay. He was stuck. Is anybody here stuck this morning? Stuck in sin? And you say, well, I'm not sinning, but I'm just stuck in a low place. God is in the business of elevating us out of places that we get stuck. And David cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. You know, God is no respecter of persons this morning. There is no place so low but the grace of God cannot reach. There is nobody that's gone so far and caused so much destruction in their life and in people's lives around them, except the grace of God can still reach out and elevate them and lift them out of that. You see, with man that's impossible, but not with God. For with God, what? All things are, there's that word all again. All things are possible. And that means that's for me. That means that's for you. This grace reaches so many different areas. Did not Paul say over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he was struggling and he was seeking the Lord for some deliverance from a thorn in the flesh. And he said, I sought the Lord thrice. And I was asking Him to deliver me from this, and the Lord gave him a response. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response was, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was in a place that he had a need. And when he sought the Lord said, my grace, my elevating grace is sufficient for you. This morning, wherever you are in your life, if you are in sin, God has grace that is sufficient for your need. If you are saved this morning, but you have some struggles and the power of the flesh and temptations and the things of this world have been pulling, there is a power that can elevate you this morning in your home life. Do you know that this elevating grace will change your home life? Where there has been strife and where there has been anger and where there is temper, thank God there is an elevating grace that can enable us to live like Jesus wants us to live. It changes us. See, what grace, elevating grace does is it changes our position. I was here, but by God's power, He raised me up. And might I say, there are areas that He is raising us up. That's why He said, grow in grace. In other words, I was down here, and by the Lord's influence and power, I'm up here. But now, Lord, by Your help, I'm going to get a little bit higher. That's what grace does for us this morning. And that's what He wants to do in each and every one of our lives, thank God. His grace is sufficient in your trials, in our test, in our temptations. I know sometimes, especially young people, they start feeling like that they're unique. I want to say to all the young ones here, you are not unique. In the sense that you feel like, why is the pressure so strong on me? Something must be wrong with me. Because I'm just, the power and the influence, the pull of the flesh is so strong. There's nothing wrong. Except you need the grace of God. The grace of God works because all of us are in the flesh. All of us are living this life. But there is a grace that empowers and elevates. And that's why we need it on a daily basis. basis. I can't go out and face the influences of this world in my own strength. I can't go off of a testimony of what God did for me way back. Lord, today, I need your elevating grace, your strength, and your empowerment to enable me to do in my life what I am incapable of doing in my own strength. And that means this morning that if you have begun to feel hopeless, you need not be hopeless anymore. There's an elevating grace. If you are in sin this morning and you bought into this idea of the Christian world, bought into this idea that you can just keep living in sin, you are living so far below your spiritual privileges this morning. Jesus came to break that power of sin, to raise you up and elevate us out of sin. So how do we get this wonderful experience? How do we get access to this grace that elevates us? James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. He said, but he giveth more grace. Have you tasted of that grace this morning? He has more for us. He giveth more grace. And he went on to say, wherefore he said, God resisteth what? The proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, as long as we are caught up in our own way, in our own opinions, in our own ideas, we are not going to find the access to this elevating grace. But when we can humble our hearts and we're not going to follow our way anymore, see, that's where forgiveness and repentance marry. That's where they meet. It's when we come to the Lord and I'm not only sorry, but Lord, I humble my heart to accept your way and I turn my back on my own way of sin. That's when you will find a divine power to elevate you out of sin. And he will give you under his influence the ability to keep saying no to the flesh, no to the world, and most of all the power to say yes to God. It's because of his influence in your life. So the answer this morning is in humility. Humble our heart, because he will exalt those that abase themselves. It is in submission this morning. So I'm going to ask you a question today. I'm going to read one more scripture and I'm going to ask you the question again. What will you do? It's offered to us. What will you do with it? Over in Hebrews chapter 4, in the 15th verse, he said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. I am so thankful that's in the Word of God. He was in all points. The things that are challenges to you today, Christ was tempted in all points in a similar matter. But it says, and he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, come with assurance to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He said we would find mercy. See, the Lord is merciful before he gives grace. He's there to love on us a little bit. He's there to have mercy on us. He's not there to throw stones. He's not there to bring judgment right now. He's there to have mercy on us, but then he's there to give us elevating grace. He can empower you this morning. There is no need for any of us to continue in sin. There is no need for any of us to continue down the way of unrighteousness that is so prolific in our world today, because there is a greater power. The Lord has that grace for each and every one of you. And it's no wonder that Paul said, at the close of so many of his letters, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So what will you do with that grace this morning? The scripture says that the apostles, the disciples, received not the grace of God in vain. In other words, they humbled their hearts and they came and they found that power of elevating grace. But it's up to us this morning. Are we willing to humble? Is there anyone here this morning that says, Lord, this is what I need. I've been struggling down here. I need to be lifted up.
Jesus Christ will give us that grace when we humble our heart and turn our back on our own way and embrace Him. We are daily in need of this grace. And I believe this Lord this morning has some of this grace that He wants to pour into some lives today if we will be willing to accept the grace that has been offered. Amen.